We need to understand why we draw the lines where we draw the lines. And, you know, I think also, to be honest with you, hey, you know, if we're going to go through the 50th year anniversary, let's just make sure that we are not moving the ancient landmarks, okay? We're not changing and going the way of the world when it comes to this, you know, contemporary Christian music movement and all of that. You know, I call it, you know, Jesus is my boyfriend songs, you know. We're not doing that. We're just not going to go that direction. I can't control what you do, but I will promise you this. If you are allowing yourself to build an appetite for that kind of music in your personal life, I hope that when I get done tonight, you'll realize how dangerous that is, because it is one of the things that I have watched turn families away from a good Bible preaching church. You've got to be careful where you draw the lines. You've got to be careful in your own personal life and the disciplines that you have. And, well, I like this song. Well, why do you like it? And so we're going to look at some things tonight. You know, is it because of what it does to appease your flesh? Okay. Is it what it does to appeal to your soul? Well, is there something wrong with that? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You're body, soul, and spirit. The music you listen to ought to minister to your spirit and strengthen your spirit. That is the newborn part of you that, you know, God rebirthed when he saved you. And that music needs to be feeding that. You know, remember, folks, the soul, it's not a bad thing to have a soul, but it's mind, okay, it's heart, and it's will. And, you know, a lot of the music is designed to stir certain passions or emotions in the same way that they are stirred in a nightclub. Okay? You know, if you're taking nightclub music and bringing it in the church house, what are we doing? And is that a spiritual song? Is that building your reborn spirit, or is it just appealing to one facet of the emotion of man? And so, you know, some things, we could say a lot about it, and I've got more material, probably we have time, but Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 11, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. This portion of scripture is going to talk about the king of Tyre. I believe, and have come to the conclusion in my personal study, and I make sure that I have read after good men who have, I think, also landed where I've landed, that this portion is talking about the devil. And what the first thing I want to talk to you about is this: Satan was a musical being in heaven before he fell. And so you keep that in mind as we read this, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and the sardius, and the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. By the way, most people believe that of all of the archangels, on purpose, God created Satan to be very beautiful. And we're going to find next, musical. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. You say, well, was Lucifer, when he was an archangel, was he equipped to play music? Did he play musical instruments? He was created to be a musical instrument. And by the way, so are you. And so am I. It's great if you learn how to play an instrument, but your very body is designed to produce music. And of course, so was he. Verse 14, what happened? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Sounds like Lucifer. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Why? Come on, this is Lucifer's description. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of the traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Lord, to be encouraged and also to be warned tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'll give you five Bible facts tonight, five Bible facts about music. Number one, as I've already said, Satan was a musical being in heaven. It should not surprise us that he uses music now in his fallen state to try and subvert the kingdom of God. This is one of the most powerful tools that the devil has to try to destroy Christians. And so he's an expert in this area. Right. You know, I've met some people that I really would believe, tip my hat to them and say, you know what, in independent fundamental Baptist circles, these are one of the guys I would turn to and listen to them as an expert when it came to music because of their natural gifts, of their study, their involvement in it. Well, let me tell you something. He was an expert, the expert of heaven in producing the right kind of music. But you know what? He got proud. Let me just say this to our music department. All this is good stuff, by the way. But that is something that is always a danger when it's attached to a talent that God has given us, no matter what the talent is. But I will say this, that musical talent and pride, you better be careful. Okay? I can't tell you how many preachers have had to fight battles and fight wars because of people in their church that begin to view themselves as musical experts. You know, I can't tell you how many churches that 15 years ago was right where we are on music, and now they're completely out of that because they went to some Bible college, so-called Christian college, and hired a music expert, and some young guy comes in and decides he knows more than the preacher and starts trying to smuggle in and sneak in and introduce the wrong kind of music and undermine, you know, what the preacher's lines are and credibility. Listen, pride, watch this, pride is something that got the devil and it can get any of us. Yes, and especially in the area of music. And so Satan was the musical being in heaven. And you know what? Eventually, because of that, because of his beauty, the way he was created, because of his musical talent, he began to become lifted up in his heart and in his mind. And you know what? He decided at some point, you know, I'm tired of being underneath the authority of heaven that God's placed me under. I want to be like the Most High. I don't want to be under the Most High. I want to be like the Most High. And so we need to be very, very cautious and careful. If God has blessed you with musical ability, remember this, folks, that came from the Lord. And I know that people can take the basic things that God has given and work hard and develop them. And I get all of that. But don't ever get so proud and let that musical thing ruin the spirit of what you're doing. I think every one of us could probably go back to some point in time in our mind where we were at some service somewhere and we're watching somebody that's incredibly talented, but somewhere in the midst of their performance, and we don't have people perform here, okay? We have them serve the Lord here through music. But you can almost tell at some point, this is just a performance. And you know what? It drips with pride. And you know what? It loses the blessing. It loses the blessing. And so, hey, that's true of singing. That's true. That's true of preaching. That's true of anything that we can get up and do if we're not careful. And we just got to be really careful about that idea of pride and its connection to this. So Satan had ended up destroying him. Well, now he's cast down to heaven, and he was literally created to be a musical being. And so now he wants to subvert the kingdom of God and destroy the lost and prevent them from coming to Christ. Well, man, how can he best get the messages that he wants to get into the hearts of people? What better way than to put those words and those messages to music? Music that appeals to the flesh, okay? That doesn't minister to and build the spirit, but appeals to the flesh of mankind. And boy, we can just look around anywhere and see what music has perverted into in our society, folks. And I mean, you want to find the places, we're going to get to that in a minute because it's happened in the Old Testament. You want to find the places where the most sin is going on? Just go out and drive around till you hear where the loudest and most wicked music is coming from. And I promise you, you go into those places and you'll find every other kind of sin you can imagine. And what's drawing those people to that? the music's drawn them to that. So number one, Satan was a musical being in heaven. Be careful, folks. He's an expert in this area, and he's expert at using the wrong kind of music to destroy us. Number two, a true born-again experience should change your music. Let's go to Psalms 40. And again, I want to take you to these because I think it'd be good for you to take notes or write, underline them or put a star beside these. These are the music verses, probably the top five places in the Bible I'm taking you that will help you in this matter of understanding music and why we draw lines where we do it, blessed hope. And we don't want those lines changed. Okay, I'm going to say some things at the end I think will be a help to all of us, okay? But Psalms 40 said this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song. Notice that. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. And so, folks, we, again, need to understand that part of being saved and becoming that new creature in Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, folks, become new. Well, that's your music, too. Okay. Well, preacher, I used to listen to Country West. I mean, my family did. I mean, we went to concerts. I mean, I know the names of all of you know what? Once you're saved, you need to understand that, you know what, there's some of those things. That's old music. You need to let God put a new song in your heart. Again, I'm not interested in bringing the country Western style music, okay, into the church house and just putting some Jesus words in it. And some people will argue, well, that's a stepping stone from people that's coming from the world. And that's a stepping stone to get them to the right kind of music. Yeah, it's a stepping stone, but that stepping stone can be used two different directions. And there's more Christians going this way than there are lost people that'll go all the way to where they ought to be just because you had a few little country Western ditties in your church house, okay? You're introducing your young people to a style of music that you're going to create an appetite for in their life. And that's why we've got to listen. That's why your preacher's going to walk guard. I talked about a music expert. Listen, I can't play an instrument. I've got a tolerably decent voice. I make fun of it, but I can stand up and I can stay on key. And I got a tall, look right up here. The music expert of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're staring at him right now. And if anybody ever gets to the point where they think they know more than the preacher, because it's not just knowing music as far as how to play or how to hit certain notes or how to sing a certain part. Folks, understanding music is understanding the spiritual aspects of music. And folks, listen to me. I mean, it's hard to discern sometimes. Where is the lines? And let me tell you, that's why we've got to walk close to the Lord. Sometimes I'm listening to a song and I'm just like, you know what? Aren't you glad we have the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, sometimes I'll listen to somebody come up here and sing and it's like, you know what? Nothing really wrong with the words. I listened carefully. The tune, just parts of it. Just a little too close to where I don't want to go. Might not be where I all the way there, but you're going to have to understand and you're going to have to be, again, let's put the pride thing apart. Your pastor at times may go to the music director and say, hey, you know, that particular song, just make sure that they understand. I don't want that song anymore. Right. Well, why not? Okay, you already got a problem. Yeah. Okay, all right, because the Holy Spirit told the preacher, let's not do that. Let's not even get close to that. And I kind of want to just say to all of our folks that are bringing your talents here, you know, be careful where you're going to find music. Okay? Because, you know what, you might want to check it out. You might want to look at it. I met with Brother Nathan the other day, and we had a somewhat of a lengthy music meeting about the music here at the church and just some things. We just wanted to go over and strengthen whatever. We're going to have a meeting in the near future where we meet with everybody and go over some things that I think will sharpen things up. But one of the things that I told him, and Nathan, you know what, thank God, he was raised in a family. He is so innocent when it comes to the wrong kind of music. And, you know, here I've got him kind of helping me watch guard all that. And he said, preacher, you know, and I'm telling him, you know, I'm talking about contemporary Christian music you know, groups and saying, I think that song came from this group. And he said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know who these people are. And I said, Nathan, part of what you're going to have to understand is when I have you put you in a position to approve the music, you got to pull your phone out and Google some of these songs. Okay, because a lot of times what we're doing in independent fundamental Baptist circles, we're taking contemporary Christian music songs, and then we're what I call trying to sanctify them. And then we try to, you know, take the sliding of the notes out as much as we can and maybe tone down we don't have the beat, so we don't have certain instruments. But folks, when it's still being sung, it still has that contemporary flavor. And again, I do not want to create in our young people an appetite. And so be careful. Well, I heard this. I must just call them out. I heard this song on a CD from an independent fundamental Baptist college. I wish they would be more diligent in checking it out. Okay, because some of our good colleges, their tour groups are starting to get their music from the wrong places. Okay, and one of the things I've had to really start, we got two tour groups coming through next month. And one of the things I've got to communicate to them now very explicitly is this. I want you singing the songs, the type of songs that have always traditionally been tied to independent fundamental Baptist churches. I like the hymns. I'm not afraid of gospel music, but you need to do your research, sir. You better make sure you're not bringing into the churches you're traveling around representing something. You better find out where those songs are coming from. And, you know, so we got to do the research. So I said to Brother Nathan, hey, Google's your friend. You're not familiar with the song. You never sing it. Why don't you Google it? Why don't you find out where it came from, who wrote it? And if it comes from a contemporary group or something like that, you know what? We've got books and books and books full of proven songs that have been time tested that will never have enough time to sing at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's be safe. Amen. Do you think, preacher, as far as contemporary songs, that songs that are being written for this time, you think all of them are bad? No. But let's make them stand the test of time. Let's not chase every new ditty that comes along. There's some contemporary songs that came out in the 1970s that my dad said, you know what? I'm not even against them, and I couldn't even tell you why, but let's not sing them that we're singing now. Well, you're compromising. No, they've had time to stand the test of time. Okay? And I think sometimes, you know what, let's just not chase every new thing. Let's make sure that when we're here and we have an opportunity to minister through music, that we're not doing any, I mean, I'm not on the singing schedule, okay, so I'm not preaching to me. But if I was, I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord one of these days and think that I was part of something that caused our church to go towards a type of music that none of us really want our kids to be exposed to. So let's just, if we're going to err, let's err on the side of holiness. Amen. Let's just err on the side of safety, you know, and I think that's just a good way to do it, okay? And again, some of you, if Brother Nathan's going to check up, you know, you can save him time. You might want, well, I heard this, well, why don't you do your research? I mean, folks, it's not that hard anymore, okay? I mean, you can walk through your house and say, hey, Siri, and this machine starts talking to you. If that was in my house, I'd blow it up with a shotgun. I'm just telling you right now. I don't want no little machine talking to me or answering me questions. I laugh so hard because, you know, my granddaughter, Annabelle, is in the Clanny house, you know. And Gerald's a techno guy, you know. He likes all this stuff, you know. So I don't know if it's Siri or somebody's living in their house with him. I don't know who it is. So she's in the bathroom, you know, doing what little girls do in the bathroom. And he said, I was listening to her screaming. So trying to get her voice to the kid, hey, Siri, tell me a dad joke. Hey, Siri, tell me a dad joke. I thought, I don't even know what he's talking about. And anyway, so yeah, you know, you pray for Brother Clanny, okay? But listen, folks, it ought not to, if God saves us out of the world and he wants all things to become new, and the whole point is to make us into the likeness of Christ, why would we think that music's not a part of that transformation? Okay, so Psalms 40. Now go to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, or not, and maybe we can just cut this in half and make it a two-parter, okay? But Ephesians chapter number 5, this is something we probably ought to take some time, hunker down, make sure we get these Bible principles in our heart. And I would encourage you, parents, listen, keep your hearts open and let the Holy Spirit work with you. Hey, you know what the great thing about preaching is, pastoring is, folks? I got a job to do up here, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to teach, and I'm going to preach. And I know where the circle of my influence, my God-given authority is. But I think every single mom and dad in here ought to just say, well, we want to listen to this. We want to take notes. We want to be sensitive to this. We're raising our kids. We only got one shot at this. And you know what? Let's take these Bible principles and let's really take a look at what's kind of come into our home, what our kids are listening to, what our family's kind of listening to. And you know, do we need to make some corrections in this area? And you know what? Hey, the same Holy Spirit talks to me. He's inside of you. If you're sensitive to it, he can lead you. He can guide you. So Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 15, we see this. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. And then it says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the, that's a capital S Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. So don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. But in the same way that wine takes control of you, why don't you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and let him take control of you? You know, hey, if you, we could take a list of all the negative things that booze will do to you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit can take all of those negatives and turn them into positives when we allow him to have the same strength of influence in our life. That's a whole sermon right there. I don't have time for. But then you get in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves. And I think one of the most powerful disciplines in life is learning to sing. Say, who, preacher, I don't have an opportunity to sing. You got an opportunity all the time. Right. Well, I don't have an audience. Yes, you do. You are your audience. I'm going to say something. Don't crucify me. Preacher, who's your favorite singer? Me. No, I'm incredible. I really am. Say, who thinks so? Who thinks so? Just one person. Who is it? Me. I like to hear myself sing. I like to sing. I think God created us before any other person that we can minister to with music. Music is something you minister to yourself to. Speak. You never said this? I need to sit down and have a talk with myself. Well, there you go. Hey, how many of you talk to yourselves? How many of you answer yourselves? How many of you argue with yourselves? I do all those, all right? Well, if I'm going to do it, speaking to yourselves, I guess I got a Bible verse. Amen. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, watch this, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. The right kind of music. Here's number three. There is a spirit that is attached to music. The right kind of music, isn't it interesting that right after it says, but be filled with the Spirit, that then immediately in verse number 19, it begins to talk about the power of music and what it does to your heart. There is a spirit attached to music. I think the right kind of music, the Holy Spirit is attached to it. It allows him to minister to your reborn spirit. That's why it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's important. That's there for a reason. If there's spiritual songs, then there's fleshly songs. Right. If there's spiritual songs, then there's emotional songs. Yes, sir. And there's some types of music that appeal to the intellect, the mind. Right. There is. And, you know, where you draw all the lines in this, you're going to have to discern. But, you know, God says the majority, if not all of your music that you listen to ought to be sound in the fact that the Holy Spirit can be involved in it to use it to strengthen your newborn spirit, to make you, listen to me, more spiritual. Okay, not more emotional, not more intellectual, certainly not more fleshly. Okay. So when you're listening to different kinds of music, then you have to use that as a test, a way to discern, okay, I like this music, but that's why I asked the question, well, what part of you liked it? Right. Yeah. Go on, I'm going to be really honest with you. There's certain types of music in the era that I was raised in that it's I have to watch. Right. You know, people kid around, you say, well, you know, you were saved at 5. Yeah, I was saved in an American Baptist church. Okay, mom and dad didn't have very little background in church at all, let alone having our act together when it came to music. I promise you, when we were attending the Rock Run Baptist Church, and even early in the days of my dad entering the ministry, there, you know, we weren't as educated and understanding of the dangers of some of this. And, you know, 5 years down the road, you know, there's still some things in our home that I'm sure if I really could go back and look at it. So, okay, watch this. They're growing out of that. First of all, they had to get to a church or under the influence of the type of preaching that would help them to understand it, that wouldn't excuse it, that certainly wouldn't bring it into church, but would help them to understand the significance of it. So, you know, it was a growth process in their life, like anything else was a growth process. I promise you, probably, you know, my dad in the first, you know, we talk about the early years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I went and changed the whiteboard today. I'm so excited to get to this month. I've enjoyed every month, by the way, and every month I will enjoy the emphasis of. But this is kind of focusing on the first 5 years of the church, what I call the early days of the church. So the pictures back there and a lot of the things we've got out there that you can look at, I think you'll enjoy. But, you know, I have a suspicion that if I went back to the first couple years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and we listened to, now we always use hymnals, but I think Dad probably and Mom probably were allowing types of music that once they grew in this area, hey, this is what we all do. I want you to understand this. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not on a witch hunt tonight. I've never gone to your car to go through your CDs. Does anybody even use CDs anymore? I don't even know. I'm so lost on what's what anymore. You know, I have no idea. Yeah. Well, of course, an Amish still uses CDs. You know, a year ago, he was riding around in a buggy. So he sent me a picture of their new baby. They were having so much trouble with this baby because it was a Baptist baby. He sent me a picture today of it dressed in Amish garb. Traditional Amish garb and said, man, the baby's doing great now, you know. This guy torments me, folks. You have no idea. You think I'm tough on him because you hear what I say. You have no idea, brother. I'm telling you, man, that was funny. That was funny. I just thank God I found an Amish guy with a sense of humor. Amen. But, you know, we're growing through this. We're growing as the Ross family. My dad at times coming in and saying, hey, we need to make some adjustments. What I just said about all of you, I don't care what your background is, all of you, you know what? Listen to what's said tonight and double check. You know what? It's good for every one of us from time to time stop and just take a look at the scriptures and just really say, Lord, okay, you know, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. I think that's one of the most important statements you can just, you know, I'm preacher, I think it's a gray area. And I always say, isn't gray a shade of black? Right, yeah. I mean, if it's black, gray, or white, why wouldn't you just be over here where you're safe? Yeah. And so when it comes to this music, I can't always even, you know, pinpoint. It's like I said, I think that's why we have the Holy Spirit, because there is a discerning factor that the Spirit will give you, where if you listen to it, you can say, okay, man, I kind of like that, but wait a minute, why do I like it? And is this something that is building me spiritually, or is this just something that is appealing to my flesh? And, you know, you have to ask the questions, and I really think that there is within music a scope of acceptance. And I would even say this, not all of us are probably going to draw all of the lines in the exact same places. And I'm not going to walk around holding people to judgment there, but there is a place you go where I'm like, okay, now you're in the danger zone. Please listen to your preacher, trust your preacher, because if you keep going down that road, you're not going to stay here. You're going to go here, and you're going to go here, and you're going to go here, and next thing you know, you're going to be in a praise and worship church. And the only reason you're there is not because they're preaching the right Bible or they're taking the right stands. You know how many families made a decision about which church they go to simply based on the music? I mean, I've told people, I mean, do they use King James? No. I mean, do they have a soul winning program? No. Do they? No, no. Man, our teens like their music. Why do they like it? That's a good question to ask yourself. Okay, so there's a spirit attached to music. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, another super important. Boy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so all of these Old Testament stories, they contain elements of teachings on, like, the doctrine of music that we need to pay attention to. 1 Samuel 16, if you'll look in verse number 14. Well, this first verse is important. You'll find the word spirit twice in the verse number 14. One's capitalized and one's not. And one's coming from God and one's not. Right. Well, you know what? I went to this concert preacher, and I'm going to tell you something. I was out there, and you could feel the spirit. Come on. Okay. Right. Capital S spirit or little s spirit?
That's right.
The Bible says to try the spirits. And these people come out of these CCM concerts on these spiritual highs. The same way you would watch people leave a rock concert.
Yeah.
It's had the exact same effect on them.
Right.
Because a lot of the music's exact, or they would go to a nightclub performance or go listen to, you know, somebody recreating Neil Diamond songs or an Elvis impersonator. I heard there's one of those around here in our area. And they come away with this same type of, oh, wow, that was just, it was what? Okay, here's the question again. I like it, though. Why do you like, what part of you likes it?
Yeah.
Okay, when you left there, where you're like, man, I got to find the first lost person I come to and tell them about Jesus. Or were you just feeling good?
Right.
I just feel so close to God. The capital G God or the little G God?
Right.
Well, look at this story. But the spirit, capital S, of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil, small s spirit, by the way, from the Lord troubled him. And people have trouble with this. But folks, listen to me. God created a vacuum. Okay, the Lord created a vacuum. And, you know, every good gift comes from the Lord. But you know what? God allows the devil place in our life. Come on, the book of Job. But be careful about ever laying an accusation of evil against the Lord. What do you mean created a vacuum? Well, you know what? We have the parable that Jesus taught us about unclean spirit getting into a man. And you know what? He was cast out. And you know what? He swept the place, but he left it empty. And if you leave it empty long enough, something's coming in. That's why the principle of replacement is so important in this area of music. He said, preacher, you said we ought to get some new music, a new song. Well, what a lot of times happens is a young person goes to a church camp, or they go to, you know, a youth conference, or even new converts will come to a church like ours, and they'll hear this and they'll say, I need to get rid of the wrong kind of music. So they'll get rid of the wrong kind of music, and then they won't replace it. The principle of replacement: be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with. Okay, so it's one thing to get rid of the wrong things, but if you don't listen, we are creatures that are made to sing. We're made to be involved with music. Music is important to who we are. So what we want to do is not just get rid of the wrong kind of music, but then invest in the right kind of music. I mean, you've heard your preacher say it. You know, we'll have groups come through, and we'll have an opportunity for somebody to come up from faith music. And I'll say, folks, listen to me. Go back there and buy those CDs. Fill your life with the right kind of music. Fill your car. Fill your home with the right kind of music. Well, let's continue. An evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from the Lord troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is come upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and plain, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Stop a minute. All you young men, look up here. There is this lie that the devil has brought into good, independent, fundamental church youth groups, that you can't be involved in music and be manly. That what did he say about him? He's cunning and plain, but he's also a mighty valiant man and a man of war.
Right.
Okay? And so, you know what? I think parents, listen to me. You know, I was at a, I don't know how far to go with this, but I was actually at a at a youth conference, and they had some breakout sessions, and I wasn't speaking on that particular session, so I slipped in the back to listen to a guy talk about music, and he was talking about how to get the teens involved in music, but the entire time, he kept stopping every once in a while and said, you know what, I mean, I know your guys are going to be reluctant in this, and I honestly, be honest with you, I don't really blame them. You know, I'm sure they'd rather be out playing football. And it was almost like he was empowering this thought process that guys can't be involved in music and be manly. And if they enjoy, he said, he even said this, I mean, I worry about them if they enjoy it a little too much. And it's almost like he's building this. And he was a friend of mine. I went to him afterwards. And, you know, I don't hardly ever do this. I'm not the guy that shows up just, but he was a friend of mine. I said, brother, everything you said tonight, fantastic. I say amen to it all. But you got to stop saying that about the young men. I don't want our young men to grow up and feel like it's effeminate to get up and sing in a singing group. It's effeminate to play a piano, play an instrument. I mean, David was not effeminate. Okay, he played the harp, okay, out there in the woods, and then saw the bear and went over and slew him with his hands. Okay, the same guy that wrote the Psalms, and those are songs. He wrote songs. Went down to that valley and took out Goliath. Hey, the right kind of music, young men, listen, it's a powerful thing in a young man's life to have the right kind of music and be involved in music. So if that's floating around anywhere, let's kill that thing, okay? Wherefore, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, verse 19, and said, send me David, thy son, which is with me. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David unto his David, his son, unto Saul. And Saul, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, if found favor in my sight. It came to pass, watch this, when the evil spirit from the Lord, from God, was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Folks, I think any of us in this room, if you'll really stop and think about it, I'm not talking about demonic possession, but there is very much a satanic attempt to oppress Christians. I think when I talk about an evil spirit coming upon you, you should know what I mean, and I know what I mean. I mean, there's days where I can't even describe it. Just spiritually, I'm struggling. It's just, you know, I'm having thoughts I shouldn't have. I'm having emotions I shouldn't have because I'm having thoughts I shouldn't have. And it's almost like the devil that day just decided I'm going after the heart and mind of Jerry Ross. I'm just going to see if I can. And you know what? I promise you this is true. I think everybody here ought to have a hymnal at home. As a matter of fact, you ought to have several hymnals. You know, I probably got 15, 16 old hymnals in my office. I like, when I go to an old antique store, if I can find an old hymnal, I'll buy it. You know, if it's doctrinally in line with where we're at and produced, came from the right strain. There's something powerful about just opening and flipping through the pages and just start singing those old hymns of the faith. That's why I say, fill your life with music. You know, there's something about taking that CD or whatever we listen to anymore and just playing those songs. It's amazing the power of music. Yes, sir. When it comes to defeating demonic influence in your life. If you struggle in this area and you struggle a little bit with depression, it's probably much more important for you to have more music than maybe the average person playing in your life good, powerful music. Folks, it's a fact. Some people just struggle. Sometimes mentally, sometimes emotionally more than other people. And if you kind of are in that, listen, you know what? All of us have our battles. All of us have our weak areas. And it's not something to condemn somebody about, but it is something that we certainly need from the pulpit to be able to say, hey, let's look at the Bible and get you some help. And one of the ways you can really keep from having these just day after days where you're just mentally and spiritually in the dumps is to access good music and the powerful effect it has to drive away evil spirits. And I've heard more than one preacher say this. A lot of times if you prove one side of the coin, you can flip it over. And if the right kind of music drives evil spirits away, wonder what the wrong kind of music does when it comes to drawing evil spirits. And like I said, you go to the the worst places. You go to the gathering places where the worst kind of sins are going on, you better find out and understand there's one common thread. And that is, people are drawn to that place a lot of times because of the music that is being played in that environment. And so important. So number one, Satan was as a musical being in heaven. Number two, a true born-again experience should change your music. Number three, there is a spirit attached to music. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Okay, because you don't want, listen, folks, this whole idea of Christians opening satanic doors and opening doors to satanic influence and dabbling around in things that the Bible has warned us empowers and energizes evil spirits and demonic activity in our life. We better not joke and just joke about those things and play it off like it's not real. Because I can tell you, and I have sat down with Christians that are so far from where they were at one time and so gone, and I will specifically ask them, where did the backslide, whether you want to argue with me that you're, where did the back, what was some of the first sins that crept into your life that caused you to begin to turn away from what your parents have taught you, what Blessed Hope taught you, what your pastors taught you? And folks, you know what it starts with? 99 times out of 100, they started listening to music, the wrong kind of music. And it began to open doors in their mind and their heart to other things. Folks, please take this seriously, okay? And again, I know where my circle is. I'm giving you the information. I can't live your life. I wasn't intended to. But boy, you need to listen to God in this area of your life, okay? Number four, fleshly music emphasizes the beat, but spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Now, we've already turned there, so I'll just reread a verse, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I will tell you one of the ways that I just can identify the wrong kind of music, and I can, and by the way, you can take a hymn and you can take the music and change it and bring different instruments in, and you can take what was a spiritual song and turn it into a fleshly song. Okay, again, everything in the Bible is there on purpose. Why does God emphasize in this verse the melody? Because spiritual music and good hymns, the melody is always the main emphasis. Now, there's a difference between the melody and the beat. Okay, fleshly music, as a general rule, emphasizes the beat, where spiritual music emphasizes the melody. Okay, and that's why there's certain instruments that we're not going to have ever at Blessed Hope Baptist Church as long as I'm the pastor here. And some of these are found in independent fundamental Baptist churches. And I would like to sit down with those pastors and say, what are you doing? Okay, why do we need a guy sitting up here with a bass guitar? Just over there going, doom. Doom, 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 and accompanying the piano. What is being emphasized all of a sudden that wasn't emphasized before? Okay, could you not figure out how to sing the song until the guy came up here? No, you could figure it out just fine with someone over here playing the melody. That instrument can be played in such a way to emphasize the beat. So it's not just that instrument. I've gone into places where they only had a piano, but the piano player was more interested in emphasizing the beat than she was playing the melody. Okay? All right? Why we need the guy with this? Doom, 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 doom. Well, we have a family where we all sing and we all play instruments, and Junior, he's an idiot, and so we had to give him something big that only had four strings, and he only had to learn three runs on, and that way he's part of the group. That's a lot of times the reason, by the way. And that gives him a way to serve the Lord. Is he serving the Lord? You know, folks, listen to not just the songs, because you could say, well, I know that song, we sing it in church, but somebody could be playing it on a contemporary radio station, and man, they've taken it, next thing you know, they've taken Amazing Grace, and all I'm hearing is the beat, and I can't even hardly pick up the melody, and we got to be careful about that, okay? So be careful anytime you have something that emphasize the beat. Why do we go from this, doom, doom, or this, doom, doom, to this? Same thing. I'm sorry, but what you're doing with the bass guitar is the same thing that you're doing with the drum. You're emphasizing the beat. Hey, I won't call their name. I wouldn't call their name, but You know, I had a guy that him and his wife and family have traditionally stayed so careful and so, and been right down the line on this. And thank God for men, before they change or make a decision, that'll reach out, iron sharpeneth iron. And he called me one day and he said, Brother Ross, we've been toying around with a couple songs. And he said, you know, they're kind of more of a marching song. And you know what? We were thinking about the idea of, you know, using a bass, using it real carefully, but using a bass. And again, it's kind of more of a marching song. And he's trying to, you know, sell me, you know. And I just told him, I said, Brother, if you'll use it for those two songs, then you've opened the door and you'll start using it for another song. And you know what? Honestly, it was. He had a teenage, listen, I could sit here and call name after name after name of families that grew up singing together and playing instruments. And they did great until the kids got to be teenagers. And then the teens started listening to some stuff. And they're more worried about performing. And then the parents don't want to lose the teens. So they're starting to give in to some things. I mean, I'm describing two or three of some of my best friends in the world that 15 years ago I preached with in conferences and held youth rallies with. And I couldn't recommend one CD that their families put out in the last 10 years. And listen, if you start letting the teens and the young people dictate the direction of the music in your church, you're in trouble. So if I sometimes just appear to be kind of the grumpy old gray-haired guy that's just, you know, won't let us drift at all, you ought to be glad there's a grumpy gray-haired old guy in the church that's just kind of saying, no, let's not do that. Well, preacher, isn't, no, let's just not. Well, but no, we're not doing that. Okay, let's just not, no. And a lot of times it's not where you want me to go that is necessarily a sin or wrong, but it is the direction we just stepped. And when you start letting down in these areas of your life, folks, I mean, I've seen it. I'm not going to call names. There's a couple. I almost want to because I want to warn some of you. Because sometimes we'll get old CDs of a certain family that, man, I know, we love their CDs. And, you know, one of those families I was good friends with, and I hadn't heard anything that they'd put out for a while, but I had some of their old CDs, and somebody told me they had something new. So you know what I did? I got on their website, and I ordered it, and I walked in and put it in my car. And I got about a mile from the house, and I'm like, did I order the wrong, is this, what? Pushed the button. Yep, same family name. I hadn't been listening to anything they'd put out in about the last 5-6 years. And all of a sudden, I'm like, how did you get here? You know, by the way, a friend, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen. You know, I had that man's cell phone number. I call him up. I say, hey, bro, how's it going? Your wife okay? Kids okay? Everything good? You okay? I love you. You doubt that? No, Brother Ross, I don't doubt that. I just got this CD. What are you doing? Where are you going, man? And then we start to, well, what? I had a guy probably 15, let's see, Tabitha was a senior, so how old is my daughter now, 31. I had a guy 12 years ago call me up and he said, I need you to come preach my youth conference. And I'm like, okay, love to. Maybe not. You might not love to. What is going on? He said, I've had the same guy preach this youth conference for 15 years and the teens out here love him. This is the first year we're not going to have him. So I want you to come instead. I'm like, why? Thank you. You want me to be the sacrificial lamb? He's like, I'm having you, Brother Ross. Are you listening to me? I'm having you, Brother Ross, because I need to send a clear signal of where we stand and where we're not going. I'm glad I'm that guy. I'm glad that my reputation, come on, I'm just telling you. I'm glad my reputation across America is, if you're going to have Jerry Ross in, you understand he's old-time religion. He's, you know what, he's not compromising. He's not moving. He's not, no. And he said, you're known, and if I have you, just having you is sending a message. that our camp isn't going that way. And I said, well, going what way? And the guy that he had for 15 years was a musical family, attached to a musical family, and he said, it's his music. He said, Brother Jerry, you love him, I love him, but, and I said, I haven't heard anything he's put out in a long time. He said, you need to listen to it. That guy now isn't even a Baptist. Okay? That guy now has a praise and worship team. He is electric. He runs a youth conference now that listen, this isn't hearsay. I've got video of sent to my phone, and it looks like I'm watching a rock concert. Okay, so don't tell me, well, we're just going here. I'm too old. I've seen too much. When you start compromising, if you can justify this, you're going to justify this. And you're going to justify this. And it's going to open up opportunities because churches that kind of like that, now all of a sudden you become their glory boy. And then here's the thing. That's crazy. The same guy that called me and wanted me to go to his youth conference to send a message, we're not changing music. 12 years later, his music is where the first guy's is that started changing. I wanted to call him up the other day. I'm not going to. I wanted to call him up. I said, hey, you know what? What? You need to have Jerry Ross come to your youth conference. Why? To send a clear signal to yourself that you're not going that way. You know, I guess what I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. Let's just keep things right at Blessed Hope. I can't control what every other ministry is doing here. But you know what? We're going to have a meeting with our music people. I think our music's great. Yeah, do you hear something every once in a while makes you kind of go a little bit? Yeah, it does. And when I do that, it's just better to just say, hey, folks, let's just have a meeting because we have great people here. And a lot of times they're raised at Blessed Hope. They are so innocent. They don't know where the song came from. I don't believe anybody's trying to change anything. But I do want to say this. If you think you're going to change things around here, not why this old guy's standing behind this pulpit. Okay, we're not doing that. So let's just stay safe. Okay? Let me take you to the last place. I'm going a little long, but sometimes we just need to get to the end of something. Exodus 32. They're out there eating pizza. They don't care. They're having a party out there. Exodus 32, one of the most important portions of Scripture when it comes to music, and certainly ought to cause us to pause. Oh, the contemporary Christian music crowd hates Exodus 32. Oh my goodness sakes. If you start going there, they start babbling incoherently because they don't really have an answer for it.
Right.
This is a Christian rock concert going on. This is CCM. It started back in Exodus 32, okay? And I can't read the entire chapter, but basically we have Moses in verse number 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, by the way, he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights spending time with the Lord. Look right up here, folks. Let me just kind of just look at you, and it's again, I have to live nervous. I got to understand that the devil never misses a chance as he's given a chance. I'm not going to be gone 3 services and back 3 services and gone 3 services and back 3 services like I did when I went through chemo for, you know, almost 5 months. This T-cell thing is going to completely take me out of the pulpit for probably 2 months and could be 3 months. I mean, I won't be at church for that amount of time. Okay, let's learn something from the Bible. Okay, when the people came to Aaron and start saying, hey, make us gods, you know, if you're not the pastor, you have no business making any type of major decision at all. Okay, nothing ought to change. Okay, and you don't need to decide this is the time since I'm not here to launch a new idea. Okay, ask Brother Aaron how that worked out. Okay, and you know where I learned this? When I was hired to be an assistant pastor, I want you to understand this. I had never been an assistant pastor before. I left Bible college and went and started a church and pastored for 7 years. Okay? So when I got hired by Dad, I was like, okay, if I'm going to work underneath my dad and be like a second man, then what I've got to do is go to the Word of God. My dad taught me that. If you're going to, why don't you go to the Bible? And I'm going to study every single place in the Bible where there was a Moses, Aaron, Elijah, Elisha. Anytime there was a man that was a second man to a man of God, and I'm going to study every one of those relationships and the ones that it worked well for and it and they prospered, and the ones that made huge mistakes. And I can remember, okay, this has been back in 94, studying this and studying this chapter and saying to myself, Aaron, and writing down some things that helped me as an assistant pastor. Listen, you know what? People come and they're trying to pressure you to make changes and you can't double check with the preacher, then you know what the answer is? No, we don't do anything. Well, you know, we don't even know when he's coming back. Well, guess what? I'm going into something. Y'all don't even know when I'm coming back. I don't know when I'm coming back. Could I just say to everybody, let's not let the devil get in. Let's just not. You stay the course. Stay the course. Not, you know what? Preaching schedule of who's coming in, what's happening is on the boards. You can keep ahead of who's coming and what we're having. But, you know, it'll be mostly our guys preaching. And it'll also be, you know, some guys from the outside that I can trust is going to come in and help you and be a blessing to you. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. Whatever's on the calendar, we'll do it. Okay? Let's do it the same way we've always done it. All right? This isn't the time to decide, well, you know, let's be innovative. You know, the old thing about when the cat's away, the mice play. You don't think that happens in church sometimes? It does. What are you doing, preacher? I'm doing what I really need to do. I've got to stand up here and I've got to blow the trumpet a little bit and say, folks, listen to me. Whether you understand it or not, the next 2 or 3 months could be one of those really dangerous times for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I need you men, okay, both in your individual lives, to stay the course. Let's everybody just plug in and do what we've always done. Let's not try to decide that now, see maybe if we ought to just fashion a golden calf or any other good ideas that might pop up, okay? And so that's the situation here. Verse 5 and 6, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation. He saw what? Well, that molten calf that he fashioned, it was fashioned. And later on he tells them, we just threw this gold in there and this thing came trotting out, you know? And so there we go. So he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Isn't it amazing how you can mix spirituality and carnality? So they're bringing burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And you better do your research on what it means when it says they rose up to play there. We see by the end of the chapter, when Moses get there, there's nakedness. Okay, they weren't playing Monopoly. Okay, this turned into, you know, heathenistic pagan worship that always involves immodesty, that always usually involves a measure of nudity and always involves some type of immorality or fornication. That's what pagan worship, you study any pagan worship, little g god worship, and tell me that you can't find that in it. It's always in there. Okay, so now we go to verse 15 through 18. This won't take long. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. Two tables of testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other side were they written, and the tables were the work of God, and the writings was the writing of God graven upon tables. Amen. Amen. That's where the law came from. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, so he hears noise, and it sounds like they're shouting when they get from a distance. There was a noise of war in the camp. Man, it sounds like war. Hey, go to one of these rock festivals and just stand about a block away from the building. You know what's going to sound like? War. Sound like shouting. You're going to hear that beat. Boom, boom, boom. I'm sorry, but when Doug Castle, okay, his people are in their church building and the anchored in fake church. Anchored in fake. It's playing music, and the beat is so loud that it's reverberating against the sides of Bethel Baptist Church while they're trying to have church. They're doing what is found here. I'll call them out on it. That's exactly what this is. Okay? And so let's keep going. And he said, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that, what? Sing do I hear. So all of a sudden Moses goes away and the whole music starts changing. Okay, all of a sudden they've got a golden calf. All of a sudden God has been, listen, God has been fashioned to their liking. They've decided to make it in their image, God, instead of understanding God made us in his image. Right. So let's recreate God. And the contemporary churches, folks, have recreated, and they bring before the people a God that is not the God of the Bible. Okay, understand that. Same thing. This is why they don't like Exodus 32 when you go there. They know where you're going. And then verse 21, we pick it up. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? This isn't something God said, well, that, you know, that's all right. It's a gray area. Okay. Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Okay, so let's blame the people, Aaron. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. But as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And I said to them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Ta-da! And when Moses saw, listen, folks, that the people were what? For, you know, the same ones that want to change their music want to change dress standards. Now, you always go hand in hand. And so now you're dropping your dress standards. Now you're dropping your music. And now you show up to church and it looks like, I mean, Christians don't look like, they look exactly like the world looks. You couldn't tell a public school kid from one of their teens if you met them on the street. I mean, you know, listen, look right up here. Whatever these churches do, let them do. I mean, it's not my responsibility. Folks, we got enough of those kinds of churches. If you really want that, you got your pick.
Yes, sir.
But don't come in here and decide you're going to change this to that. Because there's very few that churches that are left that are holding the line where we need to hold the line on music and standard. And even if you think, preacher, sometimes I just feel like in a few areas, you're just a little, okay, be glad. I mean that. And again, have I come to your house to try to dictate anything? But I'm going to tell you what I found out as a leader is if you put your flag here, there's a certain amount of people that will come here, but a lot of fellowship is people coming close to but never to. And if I would rather be a little farther here to keep people away from danger. And so if you even think, well, preacher, there's just a few, okay, I'd probably tell you, yeah. You know, maybe I am a little overboard here, but boy, again, just go home and get down on your knees and say thank you that I got a preacher that loves us so much that if anything, he's going to be a little on the safe side. And just, you know what, love me like I love you and be thankful for me like I'm thankful for you. And I'm not coming into your house and passing judgment, but I am, as a preacher, saying from the pulpit tonight, be so careful, because what you do in moderation, your children and your grandchildren will do in excess. And so that's why you've got to be very careful as far as where you compromise. Because if mom and dad allowed this, and that's not so bad. Well, we can allow this, and that's not so bad. And then you check out the third generation. It's like, how did they get there? So let's be really, really cautious when it comes to music. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's so much more that we could have said and maybe should have said. But Lord, thank you for hardworking people. They've come. And many of them straight from work. And Lord, thank you that we were able to cover these important verses. Lord, thank you that we can find in the Bible that this doctrine of music is well addressed. And so Lord, help us be careful and cautious in what we do and how we do it, what we listen to, what we expose ourselves to. Holy Spirit of God, you're so wonderful. May we always try the spirits to make sure it is the Holy Spirit. But Lord, when we get the clear leading, we get that caution. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one that can kind of throw up that red flag and a little bit of that warning sign in our life and say, And so, Lord, I pray that we just be tender to your word and tender to the Holy Spirit's leading as he directs us to obey your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name.